just in time for kickoff. Hooters' famous saucy wings, delicious seafood, half-pound stacked burgers, and fresh chopped salads. Hooters is honored to serve the Tampa Bay community with delicious take-home and a great place to watch the game with friends and family. Providing that famous neighborhood hospitality only Hooters can deliver. Hooters, proud sponsor of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Visit originalhooters.com for locations near you.
My thanks to Hooters for their continuing presenting sponsorship of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. By the way, I'm sorry last week that I said throughout the episode it was episode 38, because it was actually the last episode we did last week was episode 39. So this is episode 40. I do like round numbers. Hooters bought 55 episodes for this, our seventh season, and they've been our presenting sponsor for ever since season two. Papa John's of Tampa Bay was our inaugural presenting sponsor. So thanks to Hooters. Thanks also to Bill Curry Ford and Brandon Legal Group for what they do for me as it relates to podcasts and golf tournaments. Email write.todd@yahoo.com, one email per week, please. I can't really make time to follow up with you, put everything in one email. I will answer it, write.todd@yahoo.com. Social media, @ToddWright2121 on Instagram and on Twitter. But specific to fantasy questions that relate to your fantasy universe, email me that question at write.todd@yahoo.com. Recording this episode 40 for week 8 action, Thursday morning, the Thursday morning of Ravens and Buccaneers. So I will not have any comments in this podcast about projections or expectations as it relates to that. Already covered that in the Bucks Bulletin Edition, sponsored by Brandon Legal Group, the brainchild of Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. So that has already been done. Remember, we have another international game, Broncos and Jaguars. Jaguars are better. I mean, just Doug Peterson's impact on that team, instant. And we now know why James Robinson wasn't touching the ball in recent weeks, because the Jaguars made a trade to send Robinson to the New York Jets, who just lost Breece Hall, one of the most productive running backs in the NFL, with a knee injury that will knock him out for the rest of the season. So the Jags looking ahead, and they had riches at the running back position as a result of Urban Meyer's ridiculous first draft pick that he had to put any thought into. There wasn't a lot of thought into the Trevor Lawrence pick at number one. Many considered that a no-brainer, but taking ATN when you had James Robinson, I just showed that Meyer didn't understand how this all worked. So the Jaguars making the most of that situation by trading Robinson to the Jets. But let's go game by game here, Broncos and Jaguars. Again, by the time you hear this, there may be some different information on player status. I'm only going on kind of where we are as of Thursday morning. As of Thursday morning, not sure who starts at quarterback for the Broncos. Dare I say you might be better off not with Russell Wilson at quarterback if you own Sutton or Judy. It looks like Melvin Gordon is again the starting running back until he fumbles, and then they would go to Latavius Murray. It's not that Murray isn't going to play, but even I picked up Gordon in the last couple of weeks, thinking the Broncos may trade him. This was a top 16 producing running back last year, and that was with a healthy Javonte Williams and no quarterback to really speak of. So the potential is there as it relates to Gordon. I'm rostering him. I don't plan to play him this week, and he could be traded. With the Jaguars, they've already made their running back trade. Although the Broncos, I guess, could trade Jerry Jeudy. The Jaguars look done trading. If you're an owner of ETN, you love that Robinson is gone. It validates what's been going on the last few weeks. You're just looking for a little more consistency from Christian Kirk, but he's definitely staying in your lineup. If you normally play Mahomes or Herbert, you have to navigate that bye week this week. Same goes with an Eckler and Travis Kelce. Lawrence is an option. Trevor Lawrence is out there on waivers in a majority of leagues. He still has some really bad games. I mean, he had four lost fumbles against the Eagles. Granted, they're the Eagles, the only undefeated team in the NFL, and they just traded for one of last year's best pass rushers from the Bears. But of your options, if you're not rostering a backup quarterback, a plug-and-play Lawrence in that situation, Broncos defense has been good. It has been good. But if you are looking for a waiver pickup and Daniel Jones isn't there, Lawrence is one you can consider. I would consider him more over Russell Wilson or Brett Rippon. Moving on to the 1 o'clock games played in the United States. Dolphins at Lions. The volume for Tyreek Hill continues. Waddle owners would like to say, hey, what about us? It hasn't been as good in recent weeks. And it certainly looks like Raheem Mostert is dominating the touches. I just wonder how long Mostert can stay healthy. I really do, based on his past history. From the Lions standpoint, it's just a lot of guesswork here on a bad team. We're going to get to that garbage time. And maybe Amon-Ra St. Brown goes off again, or one of these running backs, Swift or Williams. The early season shine off Goff is gone. So even in a home game for the Lions against a clearly improved Dolphins team with Tua Tagovailoa back under center, I don't know how much you can get out of the Lions right now. You're kind of waiting until garbage time officially kicks in with Swift and Amon-Ra St. Brown hurt. I guess if Swift doesn't play, you definitely play Williams as a starting running back. Panthers and Falcons. This is not a good game either. Some are starting to praise Arthur Smith for the coaching job he's doing with the Falcons and how they're hanging in there in the worst division in the NFL, the NFC South. And I think the only reason why Arthur Smith is getting credit is because the Bucs are very close to having the bottom fall out. So I don't think that's a cause and effect. Arthur Smith is afraid to let Marcus Mariota throw the football. They used high draft picks on Drake London and Kyle Pitts and are not getting them the football. I don't think Arthur Smith is head coaching material. It is interesting to me that when Arthur Smith left Tennessee, Dean Pease, who was the defensive coordinator when he was the OC there, retired and then shows up a year later working for Arthur Smith in Atlanta, as almost to say to Mike Vrabel, yeah, I'll go with him. But the Falcons are so eh. Granted, they're sort of like the NFC version of the Browns. They're going to run. And, if you need a plug-and-play running back, and I guess we're getting close to Cordarrelle Patterson being eligible to coming back, the Falcons are where you're looking right now. Potentially a plug-and-play with Mariota. You would be hoping for 50, 60 rushing yards and a touchdown or two to get you by, because he's throwing it roughly 15 times a game. For Carolina, big week last week for both Foreman and Hubbard. Hubbard is already hurt. That might mean even more for Foreman, and DJ Moore received a lot of attention for as long as I guess he's going to stay there. Now, Carolina could trade DJ Moore as well, but DJ Moore had a big game against the Buccaneers. Best game of the year, I think, for DJ Moore. Cardinals and Vikings. Let's move this along a little faster. Cardinals and Vikings. Hopkins, for those of you who made the mistake, and I can't believe you made this mistake, if you had DeAndre Hopkins last week and you didn't play him or trade him last week, That's just not smart. There was no injury here. There was no reason to wait. None. With a player like that, it's not a team change. It's not get him up to speed. Nothing. And Hopkins went out, and I think Murray was basically looking his way 50% of the time on passing plays. So your only option last week was play Hopkins or trade him. Same this week. Your only option is play him or trade him. I'd love to own him. I do not. I didn't want to waste a roster spot for 6 weeks, but I can explore trades out there if anyone in my leagues would like to move him. That's kind of all that's worth talking about with the Cardinals. Kyler Murray is a QB1 because he gets you rushing yards, and Hopkins is back. So his value is elevated. He is a mid-range QB1 that can get you a big game and more likely to get you a big game now because Hopkins is back out there. Vikings off a bye. Justin Jefferson owners missed him last week. I'm starting to wonder when the Dalvin Cook injury happens, which would be good news for Alexander Mattison owners, of which I am one of them. Or do the Vikings move Mattison? And is there something they can get that would help them? Because Mattison, in limited action the last couple years, has shown he is potentially a starting running back in the National Football League. Trade deadline is November 1st at 4 p.m. So this weekend is the last time you may see certain guys playing with certain teams. Bears fall into that category. They've already traded a pass rusher. They could trade a linebacker. They could trade David Montgomery. And if they do trade David Montgomery, then Khalil Herbert is an every week RB1. Herbert right now is splitting reps with Montgomery. It's close to 50-50. Herbert's making more big plays. Wherever Montgomery goes, I would expect Montgomery will make an impact. He's a good football player. From the Cowboys' standpoint, Dak was okay last week. Slow start, dominating win against the Lions, but there weren't fireworks. He did get the ball to Dalton Schultz a handful of times. So we had a Dalton Schultz signing. I'm plugging and playing Dalton Schultz this week, hoping he stays healthy enough to be out there. He's been battling a knee injury all year, but Dak really trusts Dalton Schultz. No Ezekiel Elliott likely in this game as of Thursday morning. We learned this actually on Wednesday. That would mean Tony Pollard would definitely be in your starting lineups. And Pollard has been very productive the last couple of weeks. Michael Gallup was a goose egg last week, which is odd because Dak generally likes Gallup, but that didn't work out against the Lions. Raiders and Saints. Saints, I guess, are starting Andy Dalton. It's a mess at quarterback for the Saints. Kamara is very high volume at running back. That's what you want, even if the touchdowns aren't necessarily there. Alave, I guess. But relative to the quarterback situation, I just don't know how much Alave can do. It's enough to be a wide receiver 2/3 or flex play. Raiders, it's all Davante Adams and Josh Jacobs. That's it. I don't think anyone else on the Raiders right now is worth a spot in your starting lineup, other than Daniel Carlson, of course. We don't talk about kickers very often. Steelers at Eagles. Eagles off a bye week, undefeated. So you get back Jalen Hurts. You get back Miles Sanders. You get back A.J. Green. You get back Devontae Smith. All of them should be in your lineup. From the Steelers standpoint, I still think you're benching Najee Harris. I don't know what Steeler you can play. I really don't. I guess if you're desperate and you're in a 20th century outdated mandatory tight end league, you'd play Freiermuth or Dallas Goedert in this league, but I've told you for years, drop the mandatory tight end. So what are you waiting for? Patriots and Jets. Patriots were a mess on Monday night. And there doesn't seem to be a lot coming out of that to clear things up. It feels like Mac Jones starts a quarterback, but how does that make you feel that he was pulled out of the previous game? Granted, Zappe failed badly. Right now, the only Patriot you can trust is Ramondre Stevenson, who's been a very rock-solid RB1 for about a month now. Going up against a 5-2 Jets team, winter is coming for the Jets. It's not because they're the Jets. Yeah, they are. They just lost Breece Hall. Their passing numbers this year are all Flacco. It's not Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson has the lowest yardage per attempt in recent weeks, and it's ridiculously bad. They have a number one pick in Garrett Wilson they're not using. Elijah Moore wants a trade. Who else is there? Corey Davis. They just acquired James Robinson, so obviously the plan is still to run. Without Breece Hall, I don't know how effective that can be. I believe in James Robinson. I do. But the Jets at some point need to throw the ball. And it doesn't feel like Wilson can do it or the coaches don't trust him to do it. Kind of like Arthur Smith with Mariota. Titans at Texans. Loser Lovie Smith, by the way, in case you haven't been paying attention. And based on the interest in the Texans, you haven't. Kind of channeling my Harry Doyle there from Major League. Loser Lovie Smith is 1-4-1 through his first six games as head coach again. Doing what Loser Lovie Smith does, lose games. The only player of fantasy significance on the Texans is Damian Pierce. He is a starting running back for you. And he will get roughly 20 touches a game. And he'll get you right about to that double-digit points per week you want each week. It depends on if he scores a touchdown or not. For Tennessee, Derrick Henry continues to be awesome and is kind of the only Titan worth playing. So really only two running backs worthwhile in this game. Giants and Seahawks. Titans and Texans, by the way, is the late afternoon window on the East Coast for time purposes. Then we go Giants, Seahawks, also in that late window. Daniel Jones. If he's available on waivers and you own Mahomes or Herbert, or you aren't sure what to do with Mac Jones or Andy Dalton, Daniel Jones is your guy. I show him as QB8 in my 21st century standard scoring settings. Robinson is worth a consideration as a flex play if you don't have another good option in that spot. And, of course, you've been playing Saquon Barkley every week. And the Giants' red zone offense is going to get better. That's why I think the Giants have staying power. Seahawks, one of the – I mean, every game they're out there competing, and they're not a great team. But comparatively speaking to so many bad teams in the NFL, at least they're worth watching. At least they play hard. And that's a credit to Carroll and that coaching staff and Geno Smith. And Ken Walker is an every week RB1. Not sure if DK is going to go in this game. Lockett's been nursing a hamstring, but Geno's still getting it done. And Jason Myers keeps getting it done. The two kickers in this game who are getting it done. Giants right is Gano. And Seahawks is Myers. Commanders and Colts. From the commander standpoint, Brian Robinson's going to get you volume. This is basically his third game as a starting running back. And McLaurin. That's pretty much don't plug and play Heineke. No. Colts. Wow. So the Colts would like to trade Matt Ryan. They're going to try to get what they can out of the kid from Texas. It is not an answer. It's not. They have Jonathan Taylor. And if you drafted Jonathan Taylor, you likely picked him number one overall. And the first few weeks were fine. And ever since, you haven't gotten anything close to your investment in Taylor. And some of it was due to injury, and some of it is due to Frank Reich trying to figure out what to do with this offense. Yeah, you play Taylor in this game. You play Pittman. It's a reach. You can probably play Paris Campbell and Alec Pierce as well. 49ers and Rams, full week of practice for McCaffrey. I expect that the Niners, who always give the Rams issues, right? Or is it the other way around? the McCaffrey's presence, he should be on the field virtually every play. It's going to cut a little into Debo, but eventually it'll open some things up for Debo. I just don't know how much they'll use Debo out of the backfield now. Kittle's been healthy and producing. They need better quarterback play, but they've known that for a few years. Rams, I'm not sure. I mean, other than Cooper Kupp, I don't think you can trust anybody. If you have Henderson, I guess you play him because they don't have anybody else, but that may change by Sunday at 4 o'clock. They trying to get someone to take Cam Akers off their hands. They'd love to get another running back in there. I guess they're waiting on, is it Kyren or Kieran Williams to be healthy? It's going to be another week or so. Packers and Bills. Packers are really bad. Doesn't feel like Lazard's going to play. It's prime time. I mean, does Rodgers show up? Granted, against the Bills defense, I mean, he could check out early. And then what? Do you play Aaron Jones? Yeah. Do you play Corey Dillon? Corey Dillon, I'm sorry. Wrong year. A.J. Dillon. At some point, A.J. Dillon is going to get it going. He is. I think it'll happen. It always does. And it's not like the Packers have anything in the passing game to say, well, they're more of a throw team. It's coming. I don't think it happens against the Bills unless Dillon just falls into the end zone. I don't think he's done that since week one. So not much going there for the Packers. If Lazard doesn't play, yeah, you can take a flyer on Dobbs or Sammy Watkins, but the floor is very low. It's more like a sinkhole. Bills, play the hits. Josh Allen is back for you. Stephon Diggs is back for you. Gabe Davis is in your lineup. You can make an argument that Singletary's in there too. Final game is Bengals-Browns. Note the color schemes playing on Halloween night. Yeah. Zach Taylor and the Bengals are figuring it out. They look like they're going to win that division again. I don't know if they're going back to the Super Bowl, but looks like they're figuring it out after their, slow 0-2, slow start. Volume for Joe Mixon is still high. You got to keep playing him. I wonder if the Bengals acquire another running back. Could the Bengals acquire Cam Akers? Taylor was in L.A. when they drafted Cam Akers. If Mixon just has kind of reached that point or is playing hurt or suddenly is old and just can't make guys miss, or get yards after contact, maybe Taylor and Akers had a better relationship than what Akers has with McVay. But Jamar Chase is in your lineup. T. Higgins is in your lineup. I think Tyler Boyd bubbled up for a big game last week. Remember, he was my early season hedge if one of the Bengal wide receivers got hurt. And Joe Burrow is right now about a top five fantasy quarterback. Browns, just sort of, it's all about Nick Chubb. They may trade Kareem Hunt. This could be Hunt's last game with Cleveland. If so, they're not going to play him much because they don't want him to get hurt so they can get something for him. This could be Amari Cooper's last game with Cleveland. I've said all year that Cleveland could move Cooper based on the contract and based on how that this isn't their year because they don't have their franchise quarterback. So could be a showcase game for Amari Cooper. That's what I got for you. Any other questions, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thank you for enjoying episode 40 of season 7 of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast presented by Hooters. We'll talk to you next week. Good luck.